internal security agency, and above all, prison guards. There's no evidence that Israeli leaders order rapes, but in recent years, they've built a security apparatus where sexual violence has become, as the United Nations report put it last year, one of Israel's, quote, standard operating procedures and a major element in the ill treatment of Palestinians. A report out last month from the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based advocacy group often critical of Israel, concludes that Israel employs systematic sexual violence that is, quote, widely practiced as part of an organized state policy. And that's bad. You know, it's another one of these things where it's like I read this and I'm like, okay, what? How do I even analyze? Like, what am I supposed to analyze here? It's just another example of the endless savagery and black-heartedness and evil that seems to permeate everything Israel does. And it's disgusting and it's sick and it's approved of by the vast majority. I mean, there was this, it's like so many wrinkles to this story. You've got the fact that they were caught on video, a bunch of Israeli soldiers raping prisoners. This became a case in Israel. The people who committed the rapes were acquitted of it and actually brought on Israeli TV and celebrated like they were heroes who were congratulated and confirmed before the trial even started. There were riots outside of the prison by Israeli citizens who were mad that the people were being punished or charged or in any way held to account for the rapes that they carried out. They rioted on behalf of the rapists to continue to rape the prisoners who, I remind you, have never had a day in court, have never been able to argue their innocence. In some cases, have never been charged with a crime. In some cases, are minors. It's disgusting. It's disgusting and insane, and it's not one or two bad apples. It's the whole bunch, and it's sick, and they're open about it. They think it's funny. They're not shy. They're not hiding it. I mean, you saw there, the biggest conflict you get is one person going, hey, dude, you can't actually say that. People are going to get mad. That's like the most I've ever seen pushback on this. The woman who revealed the whistleblower, the attorney for the rape victims herself was harassed endlessly to the point where like she couldn't walk down the street. There's videos of her like crying as people are yelling at her and throwing things at her. She eventually tried to commit suicide because of the abuse that she was facing for revealing the rape of prisoners by Israeli guards. And they were acquitted. So I'm not going to get into the details of this story because they are lurid and disgusting. But you can read it yourself if you want. And this was published in the New York Times, The Silence Then Meets the Rape of Palestinians. Obviously, this is very embarrassing for Israel. But like everything we've seen recently, they're not so embarrassed that they stop. They're not so embarrassed that they actually stop doing it. And they're not actually embarrassed about doing it. They're just angry they got caught. And they're, I guess, just like embarrassed that they're exposed. I don't really know. There's the protest right there banging on the prison wall. And then, of course, Israel calls that blood libel, even though it's on video and confirmed in legal accounts. So what actually happens is, Israel, in order to combat a factual article about the way in which they use rape as a weapon of war, they come out with another article in the Daily Mail. It says, full depravity of Hamas during October 7th revealed for the first time. New report details how terrorists performed almost unimaginable horrors on Israeli families. And this is the thing. When October 7th, the 7th happened, it was awful. And I felt awful for the Israelis. And I still do. For the ones that were targeted, for the families in their kibbutzes, you know, waking up to gunfire, it's horrifying and it's terrifying. But then they say the thing about the 40 beheaded babies wasn't true. Then they make all these claims about women being tied to trees. It's all been proven false. And doesn't it kind of lessen the impact of October 7th? Doesn't it kind of make you go, well, did any of this happen? Or was any of this real? Or what about the stand down order and the Hannibal directive? Do I even care about this anymore? Because if it was so bad, you wouldn't have to lie so much about it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? That it's unreasonable, even if your only, you know, goal was to actually honor and remember the victims of October 7th. Why would you lie about it so much? Why would you say so many falsehoods about it? You are cheapening the reality, if there is any, which at this point it seems, you know, fake up and down. Seems like the raid was known about and allowed to occur with the stand down order for hours and the soldiers themselves testifying under oath that they were given stand down orders and told not to patrol their normal patrol to allow this thing to happen. The Hannibal directive being carried out. Once again, it's like, you know, they want you to feel like a terrible person, like as if it's you committing the acts on October 7th. If you merely say, why are you lying about this, or what really happened, or that was disproven, they'll say it's that's an anti-Semitic blood libel. How dare you? They, you know, connect it to questioning the Holocaust, which is a whole different topic. Aaron Mate points out that the author of the cover-up report, so there's the actual report from the New York Times where they actually interviewed a bunch of Palestinians and got all the evidence and, you know, published the really disturbing details about it. Then they put, then Israel publishes this fake report trying to, I guess, compete for the horror. Aaron Mate says the author of this report is a documented fraudster and a grifter who even Israeli officials have faulted for inaccurate research. The quote-unquote report approvingly cites other documented fraudsters, including those who spread the beheaded babies hoax, those who launder October 7th atrocity propaganda to manufacture support for the Gaza genocide, only continue to reveal their full depravity. And it goes on and on and on and on. As Z Squirrel puts it on X, what happened over the past 2 days is pretty amazing. The Israeli regime knew Nick Kristof was going to publish this New York Times piece on their actual systematic rape of Palestinians, including children and the use of dogs to rape. So they fabricated a new report, the most insane one yet, copy-pasted together by a proven fraud that repeats all the already debunked falsehoods and relies entirely on known proven hoaxers. And they actually got the New York Times, BBC, CNN, AP, Reuters, and Reuters to launder it for them a day after the Kristof piece came out to try to bury it. They own the entire media class completely. And once again, what he's talking about, or she's talking about, the media class being involved in is the cover-up and the deliberate, you know, downplaying of systematic rapes of non-convicted prisoners by the prison guards and the soldiers. And then, of course, you have this story from Al Jazeera. Israeli soldiers expose directives to execute all men in Gaza. Once again, as if we needed the confirmation, as if we needed the whistleblower, as if we didn't know this from all of the footage of them killing everybody or the daddy's home AI agenda. I mean, yeah, no, it's called a genocide, folks, for a reason. And it's not just the men in Gaza that they're killing. That's the one I guess they felt comfortable enough to actually give the official orders to kill, but they don't draw a distinction. An investigation aired on Israel's Channel 13 that revealed the Israeli military directed soldiers to kill all the males they encountered in Gaza. The revelation adds to the growing evidence of genocide committed by the Jewish state. Middle East Eye reported on the television program providing the quotes in English. This story is at alexjoneslive.com. And it's going to continue on the other side. We'll get back into it. Talk about how this sick mindset travels.
I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. your word of mouth, your prayer. You